Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will be here with us, speaking of the arts, and even before that, Robert Knott and Matt Sanford will be talking about the play There's No Place Like Homicide. Right now, I'd like to welcome Nina Chotasso. She is with the Española Valley Humane Society. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So Española Valley has an event for adults at the Children's Museum. Is that right?
Absolutely. It's called just that, a grown-ups night at the Children's Museum this Tuesday.
A grown-ups night at the Children's Museum. Now, what's happening? What's actually going on?
Every year we do our big fundraiser and hope that about 10% of the entire year's income to support our shelter will come from this one night fundraiser. So what we're doing is we're pretty much opening up the Children's Museum after hours for grown-ups. So all adults, you get to play with all the fun activities there, listen to some live music. We have a silent auction, a live auction, some wonderful, wonderful items in both of those, and just have a great time without the kids.
And without the dogs.
Yes, no dogs, no dogs. Dogs stay at home for the night.
The bark and ball, you get to take your dogs.
It's very true. And it's a lot of fun, but we find that it's a little bit of a distraction. And sometimes it's nice to leave furry and human children at home. So.
No children, no dogs.
That's right.
And so how are things going at the Humane Society?
Wonderful, very busy. A lot of the staff is gearing up for the event on Tuesday. But, you know, intake is up, so that's one of our ongoing challenges and why the fundraiser is so important is intake's up about 15% over last year. And we're getting a lot of adult animals, and that's a real challenge for us in placement because they're with us for a lot longer.
Why so many more animals coming in?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. People immediately want to point to the economy, and I actually don't know that that's the case. I think that, it's just a matter of perhaps animal control being a bit more proactive, maybe people being more willing to pick up strays in their community. We're getting a lot more strays and not necessarily more owner surrenders.
What are some of the advantages of adopting an adult animal?
Oh, there's way more advantages of adopting an adult animal than there are of adopting a baby, I think. The biggest one being that when you're getting a shelter pet, you don't necessarily know its heritage. So you don't know how big it's going to be. You don't know what it's going to look like. And you don't know what its breed characteristics are going to come forth. So when you get an adult animal, all of that is right on the table for you, for better or for worse.
Right. And it's already been screened. So if it's got behavior problems, it doesn't really make the cut.
Absolutely. It's something that, we really want to make sure that people understand the importance of a match and not just going in and, it's not shopping. You don't want to pick out the one that you think is the cutest. You want to pick out the one that's going to be the best fit for your family. And adult animals make it much easier for us to make good long-term matches.
Yeah, we talked about that last time. You were in the position of being an old-fashioned
yes.
matchmaker.
Absolutely. That's what it comes down to sometimes.
I was walking in the dog park yesterday, and there was a man whose name I can't remember, but I remember the name of his dog. It was this pit bull named Sweetie, who had been in some kind of puppy mill situation.
Oh.
And eventually was, I don't know whether it was discarded or found or taken away from its owners or something like that. But the dog was in really bad shape and it had been starved and all that kind of thing. And I swear to God, that was the sweetest thing. It was this sort of clumsy old pit bull with the cutest little face. And I thought, bless this man for adopting an adult pit bull.
Absolutely. And those are the guys that we have definitely at the shelter for the longest. We've got some wonderful dogs there right now, cats too, and we're bringing some of them down to PetSmart this weekend. We'll be
the cats.
Cats and dogs. So,
really?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. We're going to go to PetSmart over on Zafferano. It's our first time going there for a few years, so we're excited to be back. And we'll be there from 10:30 to 2:30 with lots of adult and baby animals.
And so do those kinds of adoption events get, impulse buyers?
A little bit. We try and screen them out. So you would think an impulse buyer is instantly a bad thing, but oftentimes it's actually not. You have somebody who's been thinking about an animal for a long time, and this is just what it takes to push them over the edge and realize that now is the time to take that plunge.
And do you have that thing? We had I've had people on the air who've written books about rescue pets, and there is this ongoing phenomenon of sort of like lost soulmates finding each other.
Yes, we hear that. We hear a lot of souls reincarnated, right, concepts like that. So, you know, if that's what your connection requires, then so be it. I'm sure that it's out there, and maybe it's going to be at PetSmart this weekend.
So what times will you be there?
We'll be there from 10:30 to 2:30. We're bringing a whole bunch of wonderful dogs, a big old lab mix who's about 3 years old and just everything that a lab embodies.
You know, what's the doggy's name?
His name is Bacchus. And Bacchus pretty much just looks like a big chunky black lab. And
But
and
don't feed it grapes.
No grapes,
despite
no raisins.
Despite the name.
Yes, that's right. So he, but he's a good boy. He's just really good natured. He's a great family dog. And he's sort of that part of that big black dog phenomenon where he's just been overlooked over and over again due to his size and his color.
And after we get off the air, I'll have to remember, somebody was asking me within the last 3 days, do you know anybody who has a lab? Because I'm looking for a lab.
Oh,
whoever that was, it's now slipping my mind. If you're listening to the radio, go to PetSmart on Saturday. I'm serious. I can't remember who it was. And so what other kind of animals? Tell us about some of your other animals.
Oh, sure. People always say when they see little dogs, oh, I bet those go quickly. And little dogs do get adopted quickly, but we get so many of them that there's always more. So we're bringing a pair of little Chihuahua mix puppies to the event as well. And when I say mix, I really mean mix. You know, I don't
like
know what
the
they
other
are,
half is so. Greyhound. Or
no,
something?
No, they're going to be little. They're going to stay small, but they look very vaguely Chihuahua and very vaguely maybe cattle dog or German Shepherd or Cocker Spaniel or pretty much anything you can imagine. But all we can say is that they will be small dogs, and it's up to you to guess as to what might be mom and dad.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, they're very cute.
I think Chihuahua mixes are sometimes a little better than Chihuahuas.
A lot of times mixes are great because they mellow out the less desirable characteristics of what a lot of the purebreds
pure
will have.
Breed. Yeah, including whatever, hip dysplasia, stomach problems, and other genetic problems.
Absolutely. And a lot of the small breeds often can be more difficult to housebreak, but if you have a mix in there, then that'll kind of mellow out that challenge as well.
A friend of mine met a dog that was half German Shepherd, half Chihuahua, and it had all the physical characteristics. It looked like a bonsai German Shepherd and yapped like a Chihuahua.
Oh, that's it. So, and sometimes the mixes don't always work out for the benefit. You hope that they do, but sometimes they don't.
Somebody loves this dog.
Well, there's a dog for everybody. You know, we've got these adorable little Beagle Labs right now, and you know, they're just so awkward because they've got these long, long ears and kind of short legs, but you could tell the lab's just trying to come out. And I can't imagine they're going to be more than 35 pounds when they're full grown, but they are just so cute. And I love to know what they're going to look like in a couple of months. They're about 3 months old now.
35 pounds is a good dog size.
It's great because it's good for a small home. It's good for a house that maybe doesn't have a big yard, somebody that's going to be able to walk the dog. If you want to go hiking or camping, it's great. You can still sleep in the tent with you.
Right.
Ride
exactly.
In the car comfortably. So that's a great size. They'll be at PetSmart this weekend as well, too.
And what about, tell us some of about some of your kitties.
Oh, we have lots of kitties. My personal favorite, I'm a little biased, is a cat that I fostered, who we've had for a really long time. He came into the shelter with ringworm. His name is Koshari, and he's a little black and white tuxedo cat. And this cat is just bomb-proof. He'll sit in we have a cat room that's fully enclosed with fencing. And he'll sit there all day long and watch the dogs go by, and they bark at him. He just sort of sits and watches them. He was raised by my pit bull and my cattle dog, so you
can't. So this is a good cat for a dog household.
Absolutely. Somebody who has dogs, this is your guy right here.
Now, back to the event for adults, the fundraising event at the Española Animal Shelter on Tuesday, the 5th of October at the Children's Museum. Tempt us with a few of the goodies that are going to be on display that night.
Absolutely. We've got a fabulous telescope. We have some wonderful trips. We have a trip to the Grenadines. We've got all sorts of fun electronics. We've got an iPod, lots and lots of artwork.
Where are the Grenadines?
That's a great question. I work for an animal shelter. Geography is not my specialty, but the photos look beautiful. So if you know where the Grenadines are and you'd like to go, or if you don't know and you'd like to go, please come and bid. But it's going to be a really wonderful night. There's going to be face painting.
It's in the Caribbean. I just looked it up.
There we go, the Caribbean. And who doesn't love the Caribbean? So, but it's going to be a lot of fun. If you wanted to, you know, look like Gene Simmons for the night, we're going to have Jillian Begay, the face painter there, and she does some unbelievable grown-up face painting. So, beyond the cat whiskers that you and I are used to seeing at
right.
carnivals and things.
Well, we will see you on Tuesday night at the Santa Fe Children's Museum. Nina Chotasso is with the Española Humane Society. And for more information, what's your shelter, what's your website address?
Absolutely. For to see a whole bunch of the items as well as buy tickets for the event, which are still available, you can go to www.evalleyshelter.org.
evalleyshelter.org. And PetSmart on Saturday.
Yep.
10, wait a minute, you said it twice, but I forgot. 10 to 2:30?
10:30 to 2:30, we'll be there with our dogs, puppies, and kittens.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a break. Robert Knott will be with us in just a moment. Please stay tuned. And now I'd like to welcome to the program Robert Knott, Matt Sanford, and Megan Burns. We're here to talk about a play by the inevitable and inimitable Robert Knott called There's No Place Like Homicide. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks.
Hey, welcome.
It's great to have you guys back on the show, all of you regulars. So, There's No Place Like Homicide. This is a play that you wrote a while back. Is that right, Robert?
It's an oldie but a goodie. It's one of my older plays. Actually, I did it on a word processor, which is why we only have a hard print copy. It's my only play not on computers, so... yeah, and I love it. It's a little film noir spoof with a dark edge, six character cast. It's early in the morning. And Megan and Matt, who've worked with me, Megan the longest, are both terrific in the piece. And we did it in glorious black and white and gray with a little touch of color just to show people that there's some life to it. And it's at Warehouse 21, and we're urging people to come see what they think of it.
A play in black and white and gray?
Yeah, it was a sort of concept that we had early on to really kind of mimic the feel of old 40s film noir movies. And so the whole theme, all the costumes, all the set pieces are all, we're all in black and white. We were even going to go so far as to even do black and white makeup, but we couldn't, quite land our hands on any. So.
That's tricky to paint people's faces and not have them look like ghosts or rather diseased people.
Right, yeah, we were trying to stay away from the cadaver look.
Right, so. Exactly. So you, Matt, are directing it or co-directing it with Robert? How does that work?
With Robert, yeah. It's been a cool process for the both of us. You know, we come in and it's nice working with the cast, especially just the way that it's written, is that we can really focus on one scene with two characters at a time. And basically what will happen in rehearsal is Robert will say, do this, and then he leaves the room, and then I say, no, don't do that. And that's basically the extent of our
We communicate really well. And Megan doesn't get enough credit because she's in these shows and doesn't ever get a director credit, but she's continually pointing out really good points that Matt and me take on because I think she's comfortable with the collaboration at this point. It's now her like seventh show with me at Warehouse, so
yeah.
She's a director in her own right over at Performing Arts.
What's your role in the play, Megan?
I play Gingerbread. I'm the damsel in distress.
You're the damsel in distress.
Mm-hmm.
And the way these things are written, they're so, like, I guess sort of Robert Knott style slapstick and quick-witted wordplay and things like that, but using all those kinds of 40s tropes.
It's very much, don't you think, a piece, it seems like a piece from the 40s, yeah?
It does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It borrows from a lot of different styles, not just film noir, but, you know, a lot of the comedic styles of that era.
Right.
As well.
Right.
So.
It is really funny.
And, I mean, given you two have worked with me so often, what are some of the movies you looked at, like, to inspire you?
I watched Murder, My Sweet, and The Maltese Falcon, and there was one other one that you recommended.
Oh, the Vertigo without Kim Novak.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Vertigo.
Because you have a Kim Novak. She's not wearing her hairstyle right now. She's wearing her, we just woke up and realized we had to be here at 8:10 hairstyle, which is the same hairstyle Matt and me have on, by the way.
Yeah, but I have a hat.
Matt's wearing a hat. What about the comedic? Or what inspirations for that part of it?
For me personally, and I mean, I go back to it all the time, is the Marx Brothers. It's just like a huge influence, not just on my on these shows, but just on me as a person. I love old comedy, and you know, a lot more of the physical stuff, like old Harold Lloyd movies and, you know, Buster Keaton, stuff like that is always an easy go-to for when we're for when we're working on these sort of things.
And Matt came up with a couple of good, really physical gags that are working really well in the play. And there's definitely an Abbott and Costello inspired routine in there,
mm-hmm.
With some wordplay between two of the characters. And it's funny, you know, Megan is really perfect for like these 1940s type femme fatale roles. Like I could see her playing in those pictures opposite the Three Stooges getting the pie in her face, and you know they always had like a
wait,
beautiful
blonde. Wait, how is that a femme fatale role?
Well, comedic femme fatale. So,
do you? I mean, Robert Knott seems to be some just fascinating mixture of Sam Spade and Groucho Marx. But what about you guys? Do you also identify with that period somehow?
I just started watching stuff for this play particularly, so I can't really answer that well because I don't really know a lot of them. So no, I wouldn't say that I do.
You've just been hanging out with this guy.
Exactly.
So this play is at Warehouse 21, is that correct? And
yep,
yesterday was the opening night.
It was. We had a really good opening Pay What You Wish crowd last night. Mm-hmm. We have a Pay What You Wish matinee next Sunday. Otherwise, I think it's very affordable, cheaper for teens. 7:30 p.m. show, 989-4423. And it's running through next weekend, and we're having fun with it. And as always, we just want people to come take a look, make of it what they will. But you have to be in the mood, I think, to laugh and be silly. And it's a little darker than some of the works we did. It's not the crazy sword fight we had last year in Corsica with Dead Man's Jest. And the cast is first-rate. Ryan Kochavar, who you've had on the show, is our lead
actor.
He's
very good.
He is. And Matt plays Dr. Haha, the head of a psycho institute.
It's nice to be playing the villain again.
Yeah. You like playing a villain?
Oh, yeah. There's a point in time where I was only getting cast as villains. And
me
I think
too.
It wasn't until I was working when I started working with you that I started playing the hero.
What about you and all the shows you've done for me?
It's been a pretty... I think I've played mostly villains. Why do you write women characters as mostly villains?
I do.
Yeah, when they're usually so good.
Would you say Raina's a villain? Here we go again. Megan likes to give me the screech.
No, there's usually one female villain and one female heroine.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't I average that out with the men?
I guess so.
And this is the thing, they can both give me this kind of grief, and they generally do in rehearsal, so.
Robert Knott, was this something that you produced, many years ago?
It's been done a lot of times, not just by me, I'm happy to say. It was done first in Santa Fe in 1992, shortly after I moved here. And the only actor in town connected to it that's still here is Chris Leslie, who played a big thug called Johnny Angel. And then we did it in Warehouse as our initial show in 2002. That was my first play there with Ryan Miera as the lead. And I wanted to revive it for a lot of reasons. We were looking for an easy to put together, small cast, one set, frankly inexpensive show. And I'm always happy to say Warehouse 21 pays all its performers something, which is very nice.
That's great.
And this was seemed to be the thing to do. And it was the only play I did at Warehouse that honestly wasn't commercially successful, because it was the first show I did there. It was Warehouse's first show. And to do it with a new cast, a new twist, a new co-director, and see how it works today just seemed exciting. It was done last autumn up in Seattle while we were doing Dead Man's Jest. I couldn't actually go see it. I was really happy about that. And I just love it. It's just a crazy, dark play that I can't even understand all of it. What do you make of it?
What do you mean you can't understand all of it? Didn't you write it?
Yeah, but playwrights don't always know what the hell they're
doing. That's right.
They're
channeling it from another source.
Right, out from the ether.
Ether.
How do you get a play out there so that it's produced in Seattle? How did that happen?
In that particular case, one of the actors that was in it in Santa Fe 20 years ago tipped off this company, and that's happened with this play more than any of my works. And I did a little rewriting of the last scene for this play, which is one reason I didn't give you that scene when I gave you a copy of the script. And I think it's a better, tighter play as a result of that. It's been really interesting to watch these actors bring a whole different spin to all the characters, and it is very different from any other production I've seen or been involved with. A couple of the routines are similar, but they're just bringing all their individual style, and I know I can trust Matt and Megan because of all the years we've worked together. And I also know they'll be honest with me if something's not working, and they speak up generally. So why they keep coming back for more is beyond me.
The play is There's No Place Like Homicide, written by Robert Knott, co-directed by Robert Knott and Matt Sanford, and starring, among others, Megan Burns.
Yay.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here.
There's only one lady.
Thank you.
I mean, there's two ladies, including you.
Okay, lady and gentleman.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Is that the first time you've ever corrected my English?
Warehouse 21, 7:30 tonight. Come on by.
7:30 tonight and tomorrow night and then next weekend, 7:30 Friday and Saturday. And there is a matinee, Pay What You Wish, on Sunday the 10th of October. But there's not a matinee this weekend.
No, we always do a second Sunday matinee. Yeah.
Okay, good to know. Thank you for being here. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay
tuned.
Should I stay? Yeah, stay. And I'd like now to welcome back to the program Robert Nye.
Oh, that's nice.
You were just here.
I know. I'm still here.
Excellent.
I'm still here.
And so he is with the New Mexican, and we are talking about all the things that are going on, which you can also find in the Pasatiempo, which is the Friday arts magazine in the Santa Fe New Mexican.
It certainly is.
Speaking of the arts, has begun on time.
Mark's Midnight Carnival Show. I love when they have a title like that. Right away you say, it's carnival, it's midnight, and Mark is involved. Do you want to know more?
Oh, yes, I do.
It's tonight at Mike's Music Exchange in El Dorado. It is going to be a pop rock band. Doors open at 7:30 with an 8 p.m. concert. So if you're out in El Dorado, go to Mike's Music Exchange for Mark's Midnight Carnival Show. My question for you is, why is it a midnight carnival show, but it's at 8 o'clock?
Maybe it goes until midnight or later.
Could be that there's
maybe the warm-up is the first 4 hours.
Is daylight savings coming up soon where we have to switch the clocks?
I do not know.
Huh. Call 466-70-2782. It's for all ages, by the way.
Excellent.
What do you know about the Quilt Fiesta?
Nothing.
Well, we've had our Melodrama Fiesta and our Santa Fe Fiesta. The Quilt Fiesta is, by the way, it's the 2010 Quilt Fiesta. And it's because it's 2010. It's a weekend event presented by the Northern New Mexico Quilt Guild, and it's from 10 to 5 today at Exhibit Hall at the Santa Fe County Fairgrounds out on Rodeo Road. Very inexpensive to get in. If you like quilts, go on out. You can get a weekend pass because it runs all weekend. And here's the phone number, 470-2909.
Quilts can be an incredible art form.
Do you do them?
No.
Do you have quilts that you cover, like you and your doggy snuggle up in the winter?
No, I just have one of those down blankets.
Those downs are good.
Yeah.
Do we have to say something about Santa Fe Art Institute? Didn't they? Don't they have something coming up Thursday night?
I believe so. So let's find it.
I believe that Santa Fe Art Institute's doing something.
Yes, here we go. The incredible Lauren Greenfield will be speaking and showing some of her work on Monday, October 4th at 6 o'clock at Tipton Hall. Lauren Greenfield, and it's at 6 o'clock. She's an award-winning documentary photographer and filmmaker, and she's talking about her recent work on the financial collapse of Dubai. She's a preeminent chronicler of youth culture, and she did groundbreaking projects, Girl Culture and Fast Forward. She was named by American Photo as one of the 25 most influential photographers working today. Santa Fe Art Institute has been doing many of their lectures on Friday, but this one is back on Monday, which is when they used to do them. And for more information, call 424-5050 or go to sfai.org. That's for Santa Fe Art Institute.
Nice. Last night I was driving by to go to Warehouse 21, and across the street was the near the Santa Fe Farmers Market outdoor were all these people under a tent. And there was somebody preparing food, and they were all watching. And then I realized it was cooking or cook with the chef at Santa Fe Farmers Market. And it's 3 to 7 o'clock on Thursdays. It's outdoors. And next Thursday night, Megan Tucker from Amavi Restaurant is going to be demonstrating, specifically at 5:30 to 6:30. And this is at 1607 Paseo del Peralta. So if you like food, if this interests you, cooking or cook with the chef program is next weekend at the Santa Fe Farmers Market. Next Thursday, 983-4098. That same day, by the way, Chef Rocky Durham is going to be speaking at 2 o'clock on Vive la Diferencia, New Mexico and Mexican cuisines. Cuisines. How do you pronounce that?
Cuisine.
I like that better. Thank you for speaking up. And that's on Thursday at...
I would never have spoken up unless you had asked me to correct you.
I know, you're so polite. You teach me so just, you know, to be such a gentleman. 2 to 4 o'clock on Thursday. Don't kiss me in the middle of this.
How is you? You were kissing yourself.
Well, I was doing my hand because I like it. You got to hand it to me. St. John's Methodist Church on 1200 Old Pecos Trail. You got to pay to get in.
Ew.
982.
The hand thing, not the event.
I wasn't. I was just making 982 9274 for Rocky Durham and Viola de Francia. I'm gonna moita you one of these days.
So, KSFR's own Helga Ancona wrote to me, and her daughter Marina Ancona is a master printer, and she is. There are two exhibits this weekend. The first exhibit is called Raw State, and it opens today at the 222 Shelby Street Gallery from 5 to 8, and that incorporates the work of 20 artists from New York, Washington, and Santa Fe. And the second exhibition is Exquisite. It opens on Saturday from 5 to 8 with a reception at 333 Montezuma Annex, which is at 333 Montezuma Avenue, and features 10 artists who concentrate on the figure in print. For more information, call 982-8889 or go to 222shelbystreet.com.
And this is Helga's daughter, Maria?
Marina.
Oh, Marina, okay. Design Santa Fe is taking place this weekend. This is the Santa Fe Interior Designers event.
Nice.
All weekend long. Call 988-1234. Check out Santa Fe Interior Designing Presents.com for information on this event. I honestly don't know where it is. I wonder if it's down at the convention center, but give them a look. And did you know it's the Santa Fe Antiquarian Books Show today?
Yeah.
4 to 9 o'clock. Do you know where it is?
No, you tell us.
El Museo Cultural de Santa Fe, 555 Camino de la Familia, which is right off Paseo de Peralta, near the rail yard. It's from 4 to 9. There's going to be more than 40 dealers there, including out-of-print books, first editions. You can get maps. There's going to be book signings by some local authors. This could be, you know, for book lovers and, what do you call it, libraryophiles?
Bibliophiles?
Yeah, those guys. It should be a lot of fun. 983-0088. It's Friday and Saturday, and you can pay for either a one-day or two-day event. Check out SantaFeBookShow.com, and there's actually a story in today's Pasta Tiempo on page 22.
Jason Roberts, acrylic painter, will be having a show at Bob and Debbie Brody's Canyon Road Contemporary Art at 403 Canyon. A reception today from 5 to 7. 5 new sculptures, 20 small works on paper. You can go to fineartblocks.com.
And if you like to swing, there's an all-ages swing dance on Saturday night. 9 to 11:30 at Oddfellows Hall, 1125 Cerritos Road, near the Court of a Road intersection. Not too expensive to get in, and you can get beginner's lessons from 8 to 9 before the 9 o'clock dance. You want a phone number? It's 473-0955.
And there is, in the move-in gallery at the college formerly known as the College of Santa Fe, currently known as the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, Jackie Courage's In the Year of Blame, The Body as Sacrificial Landscape. The opening is today from 5 to 7:30. The show runs through October 31st, and it's a three-channeled video sound installation based on the video by the same name. It's a highly charged political statement about oppression and control in an immersive and intimate environment. And I got this from Red Cell, and he's always curating amazing stuff.
Is there a phone number?
Yes, 603-8321.
That's nice.
And it's next to the screen if you've never been to the move-in gallery. It's on the Santa Fe University campus.
Isn't it amazing? Here it is early October, and there's still a slew of stuff happening around town, which is a lot of fun.
There's stuff happening all the time. This is a city never sleeps, except after 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, go try and find something to eat after midnight, and you'll see it's sleeping.
Try getting something to eat after 9:30.
You know, that's true. You start going to, like, restaurants and bars, and they're like, well, the kitchen's closed.
I know. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever restaurant owners and restaurant patrons are listening, can we please implore you to keep your kitchens open late? There's so many events happening, cultural events at the Lenzik and at so many other places. You go out and hear music, you go to a movie, you go to a concert, you go to a play, and then you want to eat. And your choices are the Denny's, the Atomic Grill, and Pronzo's Late Night Menu.
Right, there might be a couple others that go to
that I know of
10 or 10:30, but
La Boca sometimes has their kitchen open till 10, but I'm never sure whether they do or not.
But you can't blame them if nobody shows up.
Well, what they should do is publicize it in the newspaper, publicize it on my show. I'd be happy to do anything like that, and then wait for the people to pour in, because we're always starving at that time after. I know I am, and everybody else is trying to find a place to eat.
What time do you
just say it?
Do you usually eat dinner?
8 o'clock.
Okay.
I don't have a very routine life, you know, so there is no usual, but my preference is somewhere between 7 and 9.
Okay.
What about you?
Well, because I think it's because of being in the military and the family I grew up in, I'm very traditional. I like to eat lunch at noon. I eat dinner around 6. But I will also, like, you know, last night the show got over. We ran over to 2nd Street at the rail yard where the kitchen was closing at 10, but we got there about 20 to 10, and the waitress was kind enough to say, if you'd like to order before our kitchen closes. So on a weeknight, 10 o'clock, I don't think is so bad. But
well, the thing is, a lot of cultural events start at 7 instead of 8. So if something starts at 8, you can imagine getting home from work and putting together some kind of quick dinner. But if something starts at 7, there's no way to have anything besides a snack. And then afterwards, you would like to patronize one of our fine dining establishments.
You got it.
Okay, Frenchie's Field Labyrinth Adobe Workshop Day. Tomorrow from 9:30 to 11:30 in the morning, Frenchie's Field Labyrinth is at Agua Fria and Osage. For more information, contact Bob at 989-8231.
The Carlos Trio is celebrating National Hispanic Heritage Month with 3 concerts at each branch of our public libraries here in Santa Fe on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. So there's a late afternoon Carlos Trio concert, free. I would suggest you call 995-6852 for specifics about when and where, but if it's at the 3 various branches, one's downtown, one's on Jaguar Drive, and I think the other one is the one on Llano Street, which used to be attached and still is to that old swimming pool. This, you know, these are strange things. A library attached to a swimming pool, and then you go out to El Rancho de las Golondrinas to have something to eat at the bar, and it's attached to a fitness club. These things bewilder me. Well, anyway.
Cuba, a bilingual talk. Today, the Santa Fe Community College Spanish Bilingual Club presents Cuba from the Inside, Cuba desde Adentro, perspectives given by Daniel and Maria Izquierdo, followed by Mexican folk dance with Angelica and Otom. It's at the atrium of the Santa Fe Community College from 6 to 8. Bring a dish to share. That sounds like fun.
Oh, that's good. Make sure it ain't stoneware. Hey, the Folk Art Flea Market's taking place on Saturday at the Folk Art Museum Auditorium up on off old Santa Fe Trail up at Museum Hill. 476-1201. There's going to be folk art from all over the world, paintings, works on paper, masks, folk toys. Should be lots of fun. 476-1201. And what was I going to tell you about? Oh. On Thursday, the Center for Contemporary Arts and the New Mexico Committee of the National Museum of Women in the Arts are going to begin a 7-part series at CCA called More Than Mary Casa. This starts at Thursday morning with the discussion, the emergence of the professional woman artist, and that's Diane Armitage, who I believe you know, giving that lecture at the CCA.
Right.
And it picks up every Thursday, 14th to 21st, into November at least. Check out ccasantafe.org or call 982-1338. It could be really interesting about the role of women's art in history.
So here's an event. Go Baroque to save a small museum. The Borracho Baroque, Tim Wilson and Marie Moltroni, and Singing Clowns, the Merry Melody Makers. This is all tomorrow at 6:30 at the Unitarian Universalist Church. For more information, call 466-3480, and it's all about saving a museum.
That's pretty good. That's always a good thing to do. Tonight is the First Friday Art Walk downtown. That's the one that's sort of in the Palace Avenue area.
Uh-huh.
Peterson Cody, Lou Allen, Manitou, Wadle Galleries. It's also the night that the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum and the New Mexico Museum of Art, both located in that region, offer free admission from 5 to 8. It's the West Palace Arts District. Take a walk if you don't feel like going up Canyon Road, or go up Canyon Road and over there. And there's also, as you know, a ton of gallery openings up Canyon Road and around town. I'll name a few of them just to get them out there. Brace yourself. Blue Rain Gallery, Lincoln Avenue, doing new work by Rick Allen. We have a story in today's Paso Tiempo. It's a glass sculpture. It's called In Cortex, reception 5 to 7, Blue Rain at 1:30, Lincoln Avenue. Darnell Fine Art up at 640 Canyon Road. I love this title. Hot Wax, Cold Wax. Paintings by Shauna Moore and Rebecca Crowell, reception 5 to 7. Meyer East Gallery, 225 Canyon Road, has Modern Illusions by Natalie Featherstone, reception 5 to 7. The Monroe Gallery of Photography, which I love down at 112 Don Gaspar, has The Way of the Japanese Bath by Mark Edward Harris, reception 5 to 7 p.m. And that should be interesting because everybody in this town loves Japanese baths.
Do we?
Well, they're always going up to 10,000 ways. I just like to pull some of that cheap CVS bubble bath in my tub and go there.
Mr. Bubble?
Yeah, I don't need to be with anybody from Japan either. Although I'd be happy to, especially if she would. Well, never mind that. Sage Creek Gallery, 200 Old Santa Fe Trail, Seasons of New Mexico, work by Marilyn Yates, 5 to 7 p.m. And finally, we mentioned earlier Peterson Cody. They're doing Easily Amused. How can I not like that title? Scott Polk, reception 5 to 7:30 p.m. They're at 130 Palace Avenue.
Are you easily amused?
What do you think?
I don't know. It's hard to get a laugh out of you, but I get a lot of smiles.
Well, I'm amused in sort of a low-key, continual state of amusement. I find things very funny. I think it's a good, funny world, and I think it's good to have a sense of humor. And I often tell people I don't take myself seriously at all, but I do take what I do seriously. But, yeah, I like to laugh. Why do you think I do these crazy comedies at Warehouse?
Good point. The process at presents at Corazon, the process being this curator, Red Cell, again, who does amazing stuff. Anyway, at Corazon, Ty Segall, Ghost Circle, Sunday, October 3rd, at 8 o'clock in the evening. Very inexpensive admission, but their songs, one of the reviews is, Ty Segall's short, sharp songs peel out of the garage without raising the doors, sending 1960s rock riffs crashing through splintered, smart-ass, lo-fi buzz.
Well, that's a more fun press release than most people.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty good quote.
Yeah. Movies, Let Me In, which is a remake of the 2008 Swedish vampire flick Let the Right One In, shot here in New Mexico, opens at Regal Stadium 14. We're going to send a reviewer to it. The Ghost Bird, which is about the extinct ivory-billed woodpecker, is opening at the screen.
Yeah, they just got me that movie. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get it on the air. I hope so.
Yeah, it's
hard. Sounds very interesting.
It's getting tougher and tougher to get previews of movies, and that's not our fault sometimes. The Kids Are All Right. I still recommend it. It's a really smart comedy drama about a pair of happy couple played by Annette Bening and Julianne Moore who have to deal with the problems when the man who provided the sperm for one of their children comes back into their lives and causes grief. It's at Regal de Vargas. I really like the picture. It's still running, playing strong. I like The Town, and I gave it 3 chilies. Ben Affleck directs and stars. A really smart caper picture with a nice romance, nice characters, smart characters. Everybody seems to be speaking well of it. And Wall Street sequel, Money Never Sleeps, got 2.5 chilies by Jonathan Richards in today's Paso Tiempo. I haven't seen it yet, but he seems to think it's okay, but not terrific. So see his review in today's Paso Tiempo.
Yeah, but you know what? Read, if you're going to decide based on reviews, read more than one review, because on multiple occasions, Robert, not much as I revere your taste and good writing, sometimes you and I are absolutely at polar opposites about a film. Sometimes I'll think a film is wonderful and you will give it 2 chilies.
I think that it goes back to the discussion we've had many times about no one critic can speak for everybody, no one critic is right for everybody, and you have to figure out by exactly doing what you just said, reading multiple reviewers, who fits into your sort of psyche in terms of agreeing with you, or at least fine. As people used to say to me about Brent Cleaver, who has not reviewed for us for years, they'd say, if Brent reviews a movie and gives it a huge rating, I'm not going. If he reviews it and hates it, I'm going. Then Brent's doing his job.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You and I have 90% agreement, but then there's that 10% where I completely disagree with you. So even that method doesn't fully work.
Well, why would you want it that way with any human being?
No, I know, but I'm just saying. So you can't even say this one reviewer always agrees or disagrees with my taste, because sometimes even the reviewer who you have 90% overlap with, that 10%, you're not going to go to a movie that you might have loved because that guy gave it two chilies.
No, you should go see something you want to go see because you either know the work or the person, you're curious. I don't think a review should keep you from going or make you go. It becomes a byproduct of a review, which is box office. That's kind of unfortunate. I don't think that should be the purpose of them. It happens, but you're making a good point. But I don't think 10% is a bad disparity, actually. I would say 3 out of 4 times you and me are in agreement, and 1 out of 4
you and
we're
I.
not. No, you, us too.
On the use of prepositions, we're very far apart. pronouns. Herman Melville and the Power of Communication, a lecture by Gregory Schneider, who's a tutor at St. John's College, and and now the title is Benito Sereno Amaso Delano and the Power of Things Unsaid. That's today at 8 o'clock. What it has to do with Herman Melville, I have no idea what this is. Anyway, it's Herman Melville's novella, Benito Sereno, which I've never read or even heard of. So he's going to be talking about that. It's free of charge, open to the public, and a Q&A afterwards at the Great Hall of Peterson Student Center at St. John's.
That's pretty cool. There's a piece in the Pasa today on imagining Mexico from the Aztec Empire to colonial New Spain. Sounds like a terrific exhibition and thought-provoking discussion. There's a reception tonight. It's going to be at New Mexico History Museum. Opening reception 5:30 to 7. That is at 113 Lincoln Avenue. Here's a phone number, 476-5200. And take a look at today's Pasatiempo, Casey Sanchez's story, beautiful illustrations on page 40.
It's Boots and Suits Night, ladies and gentlemen. Free Friday evening at 5:30 today at the New Mexico Museum of Art. Live bands, guys in suits, dancing boots, Western rock band, Lawyers, Guns and Money, featuring Chief Justice Charlie Daniels,
wow,
who will blow out the last bash for Soulmates, Cowboy Boots, and Art. What do you think about that today?
I like that. I'm really
interested over
in
there.
Cowboy boots and stuff. Why don't we?
For more information, 476-5068. No, because it's not 5:30 yet. I mean, we could go there now, but it wouldn't do any good because they're not going to be there until 5:30. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I understand.
What are you looking at me like that for?
I thought maybe we could go get a quiche or something.
All day long?
Well, we'll get a big quiche.
I'll give you a big quiche.
Oh, I'd love that. See that? That was you quiching me earlier. Spanish Brass Quintet is playing as a Santa Fe Concert Association's presentation at 7:30 Wednesday at the St. Francis Cathedral downtown, 103 Cathedral Place. It's probably going to be wonderful, beautiful, and a beautiful sacred setting. Call 984-8759. Again, that's 7:30 on Wednesday. And by the way, that is a free community concert, courtesy of the Santa Fe Concert Association. And I think El Rancho de los Colondrinas has a harvest festival happening this weekend. And I'm trying to find out more details about it. Oh, yeah, it's from 10 to 4 both days on Los Pinos Road. That's our wonderful Living History Museum. Kids get in for cheaper than adults. 471-1261. It's Saturday and Sunday, the Harvest Festival. It's a beautiful time to get harvested.
And ladies and gentlemen, I try to read everything that comes in. I don't always make it because there's just so much to do. There's so many.
You can't read me. You said earlier.
I can't read you.
And I come in every Friday.
Well, you're not a press release.
All right, so what happens?
You're not an email.
Somebody sent a bad one?
No. Sometimes there's more than I can put on. Sometimes it gets lost in the shuffle. Anything can happen, but please don't send attachments. I've been more rigorous about that. When people send me just a blank email with an attachment, and I just send it back saying, here's the format for the listings.
And we keep
who,
telling
what,
people
when,
that
where.
Because they often do not open, or they have problems, or it's not hard to put it cut and paste. And do all the other stuff, phone number, when, where, why.
Website.
What. Yeah, it's really all that stuff's
yeah,
helpful.
Especially why.
And do you ever get the Thursday, October 3rd, and it's actually October 4th is Thursday, and then you have to call them up and say, which is it? So double-check this press release.
Oh, here's another event. Dialogue on the Middle East and Israel with Neil Lazarus, Sunday, October 3rd from 7 to 9 at Temple Beth Shalom at 205 East Barcelona, 982-6161.
I like to plug, as you know, some local musicians, so give me a minute or two to go for some Friday and Saturday listings. At the Cowgirl Barbecue tonight is the Bastard Sons of Johnny Cash, 9 o'clock.
That's great.
Jerry Carthy's at El Cañon at the Hilton, playing at 8 o'clock, no cover charge. They might have the fireplace lit up. The Mineshaft has open mic night with Shelley down in Madrid, 7 o'clock, no cover. Tin Star Saloon, Rock Trio Curry, Springer and Prim, 9:30, small cover. And Doug Montgomery, followed by Charles Tishner at Vanessi tonight on the piano. Doug at 6, Charles at 8, no cover. Saturday night music includes Go-Go Snap Radio at 8 o'clock at the Backroad Pizza Saturday night.
Hey, that has radio in it.
I know, that's what... Cora Thone has Ryan McCarvey tomorrow night, Blues and Rock at 9. We're talking Saturday night. Matthew Andre is at the end of the spot, Loretto at 8 o'clock on his guitar on Saturday. He was at the 2nd Street at the Rally last night with some nice music. And Pranzo has pianist David Geis with vocalist Julie Trujillo. Show tunes at 6 o'clock Saturday, very small cover. And finally, Tiny's tomorrow night, Showcase Karaoke with Nancy and Cindy, 8:30, no cover.
Karaoke.
I like it.
Tony DeLapp, Recent Paintings and Magic Drawings, opening tonight at from 5 to 7 at Charlotte Jackson Gallery. And Saturday, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, Dialogue with Tony DeLapp and Jan Adelman, art historian, author, and Association of Art Museum Directors Emeritus. And that's at 554 South Guadalupe here in New Mexico, here
Excellent.
In Santa Fe.
I want to remind people that The Lion and the Lamb, the revolutionary spirit of Francis of Assisi, is still playing at the Il Museo Cultural one more weekend.
Oh, good.
You can call 501-1709 for information. That's the Art in Players, 8 o'clock tonight and Saturday. And I would be willing to bet it's at 2 p.m. I shouldn't assume that. I don't know that there is a matinee Sunday. Yes, there is. 2 o'clock, according to Pasta Tiempo.
And let's see, is the Desert of Forbidden Art still going on at the screen?
The Desert of Forbidden Art, I think it is still going on at the screen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we did an interview about that during our fun drive, and thanks everybody who, by the way,
yes,
who
it's there.
Who gave during our fun drive, and you can still give at ksfr.org. But this is an amazing movie. Did you see it, Robert?
No, I have not seen it yet.
Oh, God, it's so good. It's so fascinating. It's this guy who, I won't go over the whole thing again, but basically during the Soviet era, this guy collected, a Russian guy collected banned art in a part of Uzbekistan. He started a museum, and it was so far away from the central area that nobody knew what was going on. And this movie is just this loving portrayal of this man who had a mission like nobody's business and the art that he collected, which is fantastic. And nobody's ever seen it except for a few people who've been to this small city in Uzbekistan.
So it's at the screen.
It's
head
at the screen.
At the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. Go take a look-see.
That's
hey,
all
thanks,
I've got to
thanks
say.
For having us on about the Warehouse 21 show tonight, 7:30. Come on by if you can. Goofy
Yay.
Comedy.
Yeah, that should be great fun. Robert Knott is with the Santa Fe New Mexican. He's the education reporter. When are you going to come and talk to us about education?
I guess I'm going to do that maybe before the end of the year, certainly. There's some things happening. I definitely want to talk a little bit about it during the legislative process next year.
Yeah.
And you're going to have Rob DeWalt on next week talking about the arts.
Wonderful. Good. Well, Robert Knott is with us often, speaking of the arts. And you're listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to the fabulous and brilliant Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. If you have problems with that, let me know. Somebody told me once they did, but I wasn't sure if it was them or something, some greater problem. My email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Marilyn LeBlanc is fabulosa. Everybody at KSFR is fabulosos. Thank you all. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that,
Jazz a la carta.
With Ricardo Perez. And Helga Ancona is usually there from 10 to 11 doing Brazilian music. One of the greatest volunteers of all time. What?
Oh, it's great. I love that show.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I have it on my radio. It makes me want to dance all day.
Well, you should dance all day. Look at you. You're dancing.
Yeah, dance all day.
Come to the Santa Fe Baking Company and watch Robert Knott dance. Hasta la vista, baby.
Y adios.
Ciao.